to God. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Are you blessed today?
Blessed.
Good to be here. Just a disclaimer right up front, if you don't like it today, I only preach here maybe once every 3 months or so. So just, we'll try to give you a heads up next time. You can just skip it.
No.
I love coming here. I love receiving what's ministered, and the word has changed my life. Would you say it's changed yours?
Amen. Yeah.
If you know us, you know this. And if you don't, I'll just tell you, you'll have to forgive us. There's only one kind of Christianity that we know, and that's the all-in kind. We know that there is the kind where you just slip in, slip out, you receive Jesus, you're good, you go to heaven, but that's all there is to it. That's just kind of not us, because maybe we were enough of a mess that we needed God so much.
Right.
So back in January 1st, well, December 31st, January 1st, 1986, I finally said yes to God after he was loving me and drawing me and drawing me. And I have not been the same since 1986.
Amen.
Amen. And the further I go, the more God impresses me. The further I go, the more I realize, I think I know some things, but there's a whole lot of things I just don't exactly know yet.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you some of what I do know, mm-hmm. not the part I don't know.
Right.
Hey, do you ever hear the story about the chicken and the pig who helped out, volunteered to help at the church breakfast? You know that story? You don't know that story? Well, everybody was signing up to bring something for the church breakfast, So the chicken and the pig, they brought what they had, The chicken, of course, brought eggs. What did the pig bring? The bacon. Come on now. It brought the bacon. And so the lesson here is one made a contribution. The other made a commitment. Come on now. It ain't kosher, I know. But hey, one made a contribution.
Right.
One made a commitment. And I want to be one of those all in, fully committed.
Yes.
And, the Lord always, God already knows. He can have anything of mine that he wants.
Right.
He can send us wherever we love you. Don't get me wrong. We do. We're here to help you.
Yes.
But if God spoke to us this morning during the service saying, I want you to leave and go somewhere, we would get up and announce it right here during the service, kiss you goodbye and leave.
Yeah.
Not leave him.
No.
Follow his plan no matter what. And so one thing, though, you realize that for all of us, God's plan revolves around this thing called the local church.
Right.
And there's part of his plan for you has to do with the place he's called you.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to have you go, if you have your Bibles, go with me to the 20th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. One thing we say when we go to services, we like to say, I'm getting all I came for. You want to try saying that today? Thank you, Lord. I'm getting all I came for today. And I'm going to know the Word of God has your answers. Amen. And so we don't apologize for being some of those all-in Christians, all the way. We believe in all the things that other people say are scary. But they're... Have you noticed we believe in, when we praise God, we believe in just doing it all the way?
Yes.
Yes.
Just pull the stops, Mm-hmm. Anyhow, Matthew 20 and verse 20 says, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons. I'm going to know who those sons were. Do you know who they were? Two sons? One's name was what? Help me. You're not helping me. The sons of Zebedee. James. Who is the other? Who's James's brother? John. Yeah. Okay, y'all failed this morning. James and John, they were two of the apostles, right? They were the sons of Zebedee. And so James and John, their mother, came to Jesus with her sons. And kneeling before him, she asked for something. And he said to her, what do you want? I don't know if she had a reputation or what. Because, these are grown men.
Yeah.
And their mama's dragging them along saying, you ain't following him for nothing.
Oh.
We're going to get something out of this. Come on now. We're going to get something out of this whole leaving your fishing business, turning it over to other people, and now you're just following this guy from place to place. What's he giving you? What's he paying you? Do you have insurance? Did he offer you insurance? Do you have, come on, do you have benefits?
A 401k.
Is he paying your 401k? No. And so she comes, and Jesus said, I heard about you. What do you want? Yes, ma'am. What is it? And she said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. Well, you can't falter for asking too small, can you? She's asking big, right?
She's
in your kingdom, I want one of these on one side, one of these, in other words, the positions of highest authority.
Right.
We want my sons to have. And Jesus answered, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? Now, when he talks about that, he's talking about going to the cross.
Right.
But they didn't realize that. And they said, oh, yeah, we're able.
Wow.
He said to them, you will drink my cup. But to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And it might shock you to know who that is. Do you know that that's us?
That's us.
Because all of us have been raised up together with Christ. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we've been made to sit together with him in the heavenly places. You have a position of authority with God. That's another sermon, but I wanted to explain that. And when the 10 heard it, verse 24 says, when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. What's indignant mean? You're real good at school. We were talking about? You don't know indignant? Well, that's like mad cranked up a couple notches.
Yeah.
We have other words we might use in our society. I'm not going to say them here, but mad, and that they were furious at James and John for their mother coming and dragging and asked them. And Jesus called, so here's the lesson we want to get to. Verse 25, Jesus called to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones or their rulers exercise authority over them. What he's saying is people in the world, the way they get things done is they exercise hard authority over those who are under them.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And they let it be known what their position is, and that my position of headship is not yours.
Yeah.
You ever had anybody that over authority,
oh, yeah,
over you in authority?
Mm-hmm.
You ever had anybody talk down to you? Come on, I'm not going to ask for testimonies. We're not going to line up and tell your stories this morning. But
right.
Just asking, have you ever had anybody?
Right.
They think that's the way to lead.
Right.
They think that's the way to get their point across, is to just absolutely lay into you. I've had it happen.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, do we not even respect people as fellow people? You know?
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't talk to my kids like this. And I didn't mind getting in their face a little bit if I had to. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
I wouldn't do that to my own. So, but he said in verse 26, it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your what?
Slave.
Your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve.
Amen.
And to give his life a ransom for many.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now, I dare not compare Jesus to the pig at the church breakfast.
Oh. Uh-oh.
But how many know there are some similarities? Jesus withheld nothing.
Right.
And I love that he's saying, listen, the way people in the world try to get things done by fussing and screaming and forcing, he said, that's not the way you're going to do it.
Nope.
It's not jockeying for position, right? There used to be a phrase in the business world. I don't know if there's it's probably not a good phrase anymore. But they're talking about sleeping your way to the top. You know what I mean? Well, I tried that just by taking naps a lot during the day. But that, anyhow, you'll get it later and laugh.
Hallelujah.
That's not how we don't fight our way. We serve our way.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, he who would be great. How many want to be great in the sense that you didn't just notch several days here on earth, but you left a deposit here on this earth?
Yes.
Huh? You lived a life that was an example to others. You had influence here. That's what greatness is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, how many would like to? I'll just say this. I want to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do great.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
I want my life to count for something. I spent the first 18 years of my life just, you know, trying to make things count for me. And then when I met Jesus, I mean, we're done with that. We're done with that. When he called me, I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I said, when I gave my life to the Lord, I said, here's my life. If you can do anything with it. And I wasn't sure he could. But I said, if you can do anything with my life, here it is. I give it to you just like you gave your life, because I'd heard he gave his life to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to be used in great ways as the Lord would choose.
Yes. Amen.
Or at least be available.
Right.
Yes. Huh? Did I lose half the crowd this morning?
No.
Okay. Some of you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to be great, what must you be interested in?
Serving.
If you want to be great, you've got to learn to serve.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
How many think Jesus was great?
He was great.
Amen.
He was
Amen.
The greatest that I ever know. I mean, he's a hero.
Yes.
What he did.
Praise God.
And he said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve.
Yes. That's right.
I grew up, some of you might know the story, many of you might not though. I mean, I grew up around professional tennis. My mom was a professional tennis umpire, so, I mean, she did all the major tournaments, all the U.S. Open every year, and the Olympics, when it actually started in 1984 with tennis, back at the Olympics, she did that, and then Wimbledon and Australian Open, she traveled all around doing that. Well, anytime there was a tournament where we were growing up, South Florida, I was a ball boy. My brother and I were ball boys. Matter of fact, you'd have to Google it. I think they might. I don't know if you can really see me, but I am in the Lipton iced tea commercial. Was it Lipton or Nestea? It might have been Nestea, with a gal named Chris Everett, was a tennis player back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my moment of fame.
You're a ball boy.
It took me all day.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the commercials, like, I'm not sure I saw myself, you know, because they don't guarantee you're going to get in there. They just need you. There, so I'm sitting there all day long doing the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
If I got paid for it, I don't know it. Bet you my mom did. So anyhow, I'm not good at tennis, but I know a lot about it because it was my upbringing. And I know this, that every play in tennis starts the same way. How's it start? With the serve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You serve.
Yeah.
And that puts things in motion. Your serve puts things in play, and you hit that ball, and then it comes, and then stuff comes back to you. There's most every Christian I know wants some things to come back to them from the Lord. God send this, God send this, God send this. But you know, so much of the time it starts with your serve. They talk in tennis about improving your serve. Folk work on their serve. You know, you got to toss that ball up just right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's not just hitting the ball. It's the follow through
right. And
all that stuff.
Right.
And anyhow, don't ask me too much more than that. But they'll talk about improving your serve.
Sure.
And I just want to, you know, in the few minutes we have left today, kind of just give you some thoughts along these lines of improving your serve, because that's the path to promotion. That's the path to the top.
Yes.
You don't sleep your way to the top. You serve your way to the top in the kingdom of God. One of our, you know, I wouldn't call him my spiritual father in the sense that Brother Kenneth Hagin really was the one that his ministry just fathered me and got me set. But I was connected for a number of years with Dr. Ed Dufresne, mm-hmm. and many of you know I travel with Pastor Nancy now in some of her meetings. Mm-hmm. Amy and I do. And Dr. Ed Dufresne, he has the most wonderful story because he would work in construction. He was a hard worker, and they'd go to the bar after work every day. Mm-hmm. And sitting on a bar stool, mm-hmm. one day he heard a voice. And that voice said, "You'll go all over the world and preach my gospel," on a bar stool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said to the bartender, "Hey, Joe," and why is it always named Joe? I don't know. But he said, "Hey, Joe, set everyone up with a beer. I'm going to be a priest," because he was Catholic.
Yeah.
So he thought he was going to be a priest. Yeah. And just you know, he was married. He had kids, but just didn't. Yeah, he didn't, you know, you're blowing all your money at the bar. We have family members that. You know, if they would have given as much to the church as they did to the Marilla, what's it called?
The Marilla Grill.
The Marilla Grill, mm-hmm. in Marilla, New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, Uncle Joe, Uncle Pastor Zinski. Oh. Come on now, you're talking, you can't even spell that. No, nobody can spell that. No. They couldn't spell
they
it.
Couldn't spell it.
The more he took in, the more generous he got.
Oh.
And so Dr. Dufresne was the same way. He said, "Hey, Joe, set everyone up with a beer. I'm going to be a priest." They're celebrating. Well, that came and went. He didn't, you know, he didn't join no priesthood, nothing like that. But there was this guy named Billy Frazier who he worked with who kept inviting him to church.
Yeah.
And he said, "No, stop that." And he'd cuss him out.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, he said Billy was always in the porta potty. He said, "Billy, do you have some kind of problem, digestive problem or something? You're always in the bathroom." And now this was later after Dr. Dufresne had met the Lord. He said, "No, you would get me so angry and I wanted to cuss you out, but I knew I would blow my testimony if I did that. So I would go in there and pray after talking to you." But anyhow, he kept inviting him. He said, "Would you come to church with me? Come to church with me." And Dr. Dufresne finally said, "If I promise to go, will you stop asking?" And he said, "Yeah."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he gave God one shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he went to this church that Billy Frazier invited him to.
Yeah.
And actually, he didn't even know what the preacher preached on. But there was this Filipino couple sitting there. And during the service, one of them got up and spoke in other tongues.
Yeah.
And then the other one interpreted.
Yeah.
And he'd never seen anything like that, never heard anything like that. But he said, "When that happened, a presence came on me." And he said, "I couldn't wait till the end of that service where they gave, because I knew I had to respond to this presence that was on me." And at the end of the service, they gave the opportunity for him to receive Christ. He said, "I hightailed it down there."
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he said that, you know, that was Sunday morning. And he said, "Well," he came back that night. They said, "Well, come back at night, bring your Bible."
Yeah.
And I said, the only Bible they had was this big Catholic Bible with a picture of Mary on the front. Well, nothing against Sister Mary. Come on now.
Yeah.
But he brought that. And he came back that night. And when he saw the pastor, he said, "What can I do?"
Right, right.
"What can I do for God?" He said, "I've been serving the devil for the past 25, 30 years, however old he was.
Yeah.
And I served him hard."
Yeah.
He said, "But Jesus changed my life today. What can I do?" And he said, "Well, we don't have anybody to clean the toilets
right.
in the building." And he said, "That's my job."
Yes.
And he said, "Those toilets," he said, "you've never seen anything so clean in your life." He
right.
said, I would scrub those things
yeah.
until you can see your reflection in them. Come on now. They're ready for you to sit down on those things. And he said, that was my ministry.
Right.
And it was from that place of serving.
That
God did exactly what that voice in the bar told him he would do.
Right, right.
That he went all around the world and preached the gospel.
That's right. That's right.
He learned to serve and became great.
Yes. Yes.
From there, he got promoted to helping take the offering, being an usher in church. That's a promotion. And see, this is a mentality that can be lost in our society. You know, we're used to somebody else doing it for you. You know, we pastored up in just south of Buffalo, New York, Orchard Park, New York, for 11 years. and we had a great group there, you know, and this was from 2000, 2011. And we would have, because we had our own building, so during that time, we would maybe every quarter or so, we would have like a church fellowship dinner. You may say, well, why don't we do that here after the service? Well, we tried that once. Praise the Lord. Everybody showed up about 10:30 to the service, and it just didn't work. It didn't work. So it's a lot to do on a Sunday morning, I guess. But anyhow, we would have these dinners, and we had a couple. They're actually pastor now. They're ministry. And they had come from a larger ministry to help us. And they talked to us after that dinner. They said, we've never seen anything like this. And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, everybody in the church hung around to clean up. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, well, the church we were at, they knew we were on staff. Everybody just let the staff take care of everything. I'm like, well, you know, our people aren't idiots. We teach them. Yeah. I'm not really calling anybody an idiot. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
No, we teach them.
Amen.
She read the verse during the offering. It didn't just say the money that you sow, you'll reap.
No, that's right.
It says whatever you sow, whatever you give.
Right.
You don't just give of your substance, you give of yourself.
That's right.
And the first way you give yourself to God is in the local church that he has for you.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. That's what the local church is. It's a family where everyone has responsibilities and everyone has the opportunity.
That's right.
Not the obligation.
No, opportunity.
The opportunity to serve.
Amen.
So, you know, you never hear from us, never have, believe you never will ever hear from us, you know, during an offering that you have to do this or you have to do this. And because we don't believe you have to, we believe you ought to want to. We don't believe you have to. We believe you get to. We don't believe it's an obligation. We believe it's an opportunity.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
When I traveled with Brother Kenneth Hagin for a bunch of years, and we were doing a meeting in Nanuet, New York. Anybody here, you ever been to Nanuet, New York?
I have.
Just my wife. Mm-hmm. Were you at that meeting?
I've been there. Yeah.
You were there with me. Fred on. Nanuet, New York. It's just outside New York City. And this church, I'm telling you, it was an amazing place. The pastors were, but the long story. But anyhow, we're there at this church, and we have to be there as part of the crusade team. We have to be there early. You know, if the service starts at 7, we're there like at 5:30, something like that. And we're stocking the book table because, I mean, they wipe it out after every service, buying stuff. Probably about 1,500 people that were at this meeting in this local church. And the local church was just an awesome place. And so we saw, it's about 5:45, and we see this lady carrying her heels in, dressed up, just running, like running to get to the church. I'm like, what's going on? And she came in and flew past us and then came back to our area, put her shoes on, and started working, you know, doing something for the church as we were doing stuff. So we said, what was it? What were you running for? She said, well, I was almost late.
Yeah.
And we're like, the service doesn't start till 7:00. She said, no, you don't understand. Uh-huh. I have a position here where I serve in what we call the Ministry of Helps.
Yeah.
She said, and if I'm late,
yeah,
I'll lose my position.
Yeah.
Because there's waiting lists,
yes,
in every area of service in the church.
Yes.
Waiting lists.
Waiting lists. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
And she said, if we're late,
yeah,
she said, my bus was late,
yes,
that I took,
yeah,
from the city to get out here. My bus was late, almost made me late, and I almost lost my position. And it was enough for her to pull her heels off and run like she was, you know, she was in a track meet,
yeah,
to try to get there to not get late, because ain't nobody else going to serve in my place. That's a mentality. That's a mentality.
Amen.
That I'm not just the chicken throwing an egg here. Come on now. I'm not just going to make a contribution and release myself from the blessing and the benefit that God has for me.
Amen.
By serving, but I'm just going to be all in.
Yeah.
And you know, when you have this mentality, you start thinking different. You start instead of thinking, well, do I have to? or what do I have to do?
Right.
You start thinking, what can I do?
What can I do?
What can I do?
What can I do?
Mm-hmm. Can you go to another scripture?
Yes.
Over in 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. 1 Samuel's in your Old Testament. I'll help you out, let you know where 1 Samuel is. If you don't know where it is, it's right before 2 Samuel.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I decided I'm going to always help people find where these books are. 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. Friends, when God calls you to a place, he gives you he gives you assignments there.
That's right.
And I understand, you know, we wish, you know, believe it or not, I don't know if you believe it. You might think something's really wrong with us. We've been here at this place coming up on 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of people come through, uh-huh. A lot of people go, obviously. And so we don't have this department and this program.
Right.
All we have is set up, tear down, help bake something, whatever. You know what I mean? We just have a couple things that you could get involved in.
Yes.
But we ought to have waiting lists.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Come on now. We ought to have the mentality, I'm going to do something and ain't nobody going to get there and take my spot.
Yeah.
That's one thing we ought to be kind of possessive about.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry, this is my job.
Amen. Amen.
How many know what we're talking about?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It ought to be that way, but when a place looks small,
right.
People get small-minded about it.
They do.
You know what I mean? Okay. And they think, well, this is just, you know, hey, it don't matter if I'm here before the service or if I get here. You know, I don't like the music anyhow. Well, you know, it does matter that you're here.
It does matter.
When you have visitors come in and it's an absolute empty room,
right.
It really helps if there's a person or two here at least. Come on now.
Yes.
1 Samuel. I'll get off of that. 1 Samuel. But this ought to be not just a mentality. This ought to be something in your heart.
Yes.
To where you so value. Because you can't love God and not love what he loves.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Amen.
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 And you'll find that what God loves is his church.
Yeah.
Of course, he loves all of us. We understand that. But I mean, he loves, in the earth, he loves his local church.
Yes.
That is the main thing he's doing in our day is endeavoring to raise up strong local churches that know how to minister the word and flow with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He's endeavoring to do that.
Right. Yeah.
That's his plan.
Yes.
So he loves his church. And you can't say, Lord, I love you, and not love the place he sends you.
Come on. Yeah.
And if you love the place he sends you, it's going to be in your heart.
Yes.
And it's from that point that you'll start thinking, what can I do?
Yeah.
What can I do? And it may be nothing but get on the waiting list and show up all the time and on time.
Right.
And then we'll work you in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
And be willing to start cleaning the toilets if we had our own building, it would be that. We'd need someone to clean the toilets.
Yeah.
Our first church, you know, the church in New York we had, I would, when we started, it was my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do the cleaning. We had very little kids. She would lead praise and worship, go back, work with the kids. And I was the usher. I'd take the offering. I'd kind of do it all. And I'd clean. And thank God some folk came one day. And as they walked in the building, God spoke to them and said, this is your home. Help take care of it. God spoke that to them. And those individuals got other people involved. And they came to me and they said, Pastor, we've seen you clean. Please don't ever do it again. Because I didn't do a good job. But they realized that if it's worth doing for God, it's worth doing right. And they had standards. And they loved the place that we had.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And they'd stay. I mean, they'd come early. And then by the time things got rolling, we had a whole crew of people. Everybody was signed up for something.
Right.
What did you do? I know you did something. You were with us.
Oh, she was children.
Yeah, you were children's worker, youth group.
Yep.
Everybody, folk were on the cleaning crew.
Right. Yeah.
Folk were signed up. People were signed, always signing up. And matter of fact, I didn't know how things worked in my own church.
That's right.
And it was just fine because they worked. I mean, they had that thing down. And they'd stay after the service every couple of weeks. We had these big windows because it was like a storefront type thing. We had these big windows. And they're out there like experts cleaning these windows.
Right.
Taking care. See, that couple, they lead their own church today.
Yes.
So many of the people that were with us back then are actually preaching today.
Yes.
And they all started serving.
Yep. That's right.
Well, if you want to be great, you got to learn to serve.
Learn to serve.
If it was good enough for Jesus,
come on,
it's good enough for you.
Amen.
Do you know what the word ministry means in the original language? It means to serve. We're not here for you to. We're not here for you to serve us. We're here to serve.
Right.
And the main thing that we serve is we serve the things of God, like a server in a restaurant would bring you your food.
Right.
And we take great care
doing
that.
Yes.
I can tell you, man, my wife, she doesn't just blow this off and say, well, there's just not a whole lot of people here, so I'll just give it minimal effort. She acts like there's 700-800 people here.
Amen.
When she prepares.
Amen.
She's serving you. Well, I had you turn to 1 Samuel because you want to get it in your heart. And develop a love and realize that, hey, this is a connection by which the more I bring and the more I serve, the more will come to me. And the stronger that connection, the more I'll receive from the Lord and from His things. So over in 1 Samuel 10, I gave you about 15 minutes to turn there. Praise the Lord. This is the story of the first king of Israel, and his name was Saul. And this was when he was basically crowned king. And verse 25 says, then Samuel told the people the rights and duties of the kingship. They had never had a king before.
Right.
So he's saying, listen, Saul is king. And he's probably telling him, listen, the king's going to need some help. If the king's going to rule, I'm going to know that in our country, we have a president.
Right.
Doesn't matter whether you voted for him or voted for somebody else, we still have a president. And listen, I'll just tell you at this church, we don't play with that not my president stuff. We don't do that stuff.
No.
The offices that they stand in are worthy of our honor and our respect.
Amen.
And if you like what they do, perfect. If you don't like what they do, they're still worthy of honor and respect.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But we don't want our president mowing the lawn of the White House.
Come on.
Pushing up.
Amen.
I don't want to see President Biden out there pushing a mower.
No.
He's got more important things
to do.
To do. Right?
Amen.
I don't want them saying, we're in the situation room. Where's the president? He's cleaning the bathrooms. No. He shouldn't be cleaning the bathrooms. He shouldn't be cooking the meals. Right? Because of what he carries and what he walks in, there's things he needs assistance in those areas. And it's not a lesser spot. It's not the person that mows the lawn. May not have the office that the president has, but he's just as essential.
That's right.
Because I don't want heads of state coming over and seeing this overgrown, weed-filled thing. And they say, what's that? That's the house of the president.
Right.
That ain't right.
No.
Makes us look bad.
Come on now.
So anyhow, he's telling the rights and duties of the kingship, and he wrote them in a book. And then it says, then Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his home. And the next verse says, Saul also went to his home at Gibeah. And look at this, everybody. And with him went men of valor, look at it, whose hearts God had touched.
Amen. That's awesome.
Powerful verse, isn't it? Saul needed help, And God dealt with those people that were to help them. And he put in them a love for their leader. And a love for the country that they, you know what I mean? Everything that goes with it. They put enough of a love in it that they left their homes and went to tend to the king. There's a lesson in here that all of us ought to be sensitive to the touch of God regarding the place and the leaders that God puts in your life. Amen. To where nobody should ever have to ask for, hey, we need some help. Hey, we could use some help to come early and set up. Or we could use some help to tear down afterwards. Or it ought to be that folk are always saying, what can we do?
Right.
Where can we serve? What can we give?
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right. Right.
I'm just saying, we're not trying to twist anybody's arm, right? We don't, love doesn't force. Right? But we're just endeavoring to show you the standards from the word and kind of get our thinking right to what it should be in a place.
Amen.
That we ought to endeavor to outdo one another in serving.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. Amen.
What can we do? What do you need? What can we do? What can happen around here?
Right. Amen.
Amen. And God will touch a person's heart. Well, when he does that, it's not just a one-way connection of you doing stuff for the pastor or for the church or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's a two-way connection because as your heart opens to give, your heart remains open to
receive.
Are you hearing us today?
Yeah.
So just an encouragement.
Yeah.
Don't just be like the chicken.
Come on.
Don't just be like the chicken bringing an egg or two. Beat a pig.
Yeah.
You know, pigs are greedy. We call it, be greedy to give.
Yes.
Be greedy to serve.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And find out, what can I do? Do not minimize the clean the toilet level of service. Because God promotes people from one place and one place only, the place of service in the local church. For years, I was, believe it or not, I was the organist at my church. That was the first thing. Now, did I tell them, or was it on the road last week about Lisa pushing me?
That was on the road.
Yeah. Y'all know Lisa? You don't know her. She was my friend. She was a Jesus freak in college like me.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of those charismatics like I am today, but I wasn't then. But still, Lisa and Rock were my two friends in college that were serving God. Lisa didn't have a car, I did. So if she wanted to go to church, like on a midweek, she had to go to mine. And God had been, my church, I'm thankful for them. They didn't know a lot of the things of God that we teach you here. But they did know about being saved. They did know about being born again.
Yep.
And they preached that every service. Didn't matter if everybody there was already saved. They're going to give you the opportunity once again to come walk the aisle.
Yeah.
And so because they wanted somebody to walk the aisle when they gave this invitation to come to Christ, they would open it up. They'd give you like four or five different choices and you could come down for any of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you could receive Jesus. You could rededicate your life if you were backslid or whatever or be baptized. Or join the church if you've already done the other.
Mm-hmm.
If you've received Christ, then they would allow you to formally join the church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew I needed to make that connection.
Yeah, join the church.
But you can ask my wife, I loved to live the life of low commitment, non-committal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just to keep my options open.
Right.
Doesn't matter that God put me there and I've been going there for a couple years. No, I just want to keep my options open. And I must have shared with Lisa at some time that, you know, I really want to do that, but I'm scared to walk down the aisle. And so this one Wednesday night, they gave the, you know, she was with me and they gave the invitation. And I was on the aisle. She pushed me, like physically threw me out in the aisle.
Yeah.
The preacher looks at me and I'm already out there. So I just walked down, did what I was supposed to do, you know. Why was I sharing about that?
Organist.
Oh, I asked, they had this, you know, I fool around on the piano. That's not my main instrument, but I played some. And so they had this cool looking organ. I'd never played anything like that before. And I asked somebody one time, could I try that? Not during a service. I mean, like afterward. And the piano player later, she said, oh, yeah, we'll hook you up. And I'm over there playing it. The pastor walks through, and he looks at me, and he said, you're our new organist. Didn't ask.
No.
Didn't ask.
No.
Just said, you're our new organist. I don't know how to play that thing. I don't know how to use those pedals.
No.
I don't know how to read out of that hymn book where they have four lines of lyrics in between the music staff. And I'm like looking like this. But I did it for years, which meant I had to come to rehearsal, which meant I was a professional saxophonist. I would play in my Latin bands in Miami from midnight to 5 a.m. Saturday night. And then I'd go sleep for 2 hours, maybe three, and I would be at the church an hour ahead of time to go through rehearsal at that, and then be there Sunday night, and then be there Wednesday night, and then be there. I was there for everything.
Yeah.
And it just ruined my life, as you can tell.
Oh, come on.
It did. It just ruined. I didn't have all the, think of all the fun I missed by serving.
Come on.
By serving. God used that avenue, given me a place to serve.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'll just tell you one more story real quick, and then we'll be dismissed. I know I preach a little longer than the experts. We went, after that, I went on the road with a gospel music group called Truth. And I mean, they were just, had radio hits and everything like that back in the early 90s when I was with them. And it was so professional and so well done. Well, from there, after 3 years of that, we went to Bible school out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This big place called Rhema, and they had a church there.
Yeah.
Now, really, I had some people found out I was in town and knew me from being on the road. And they said, would you come play at our church on Sunday mornings?
Yeah.
Said, we'll pay you.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have any income. I didn't have any job.
Right.
I'm like, perfect. This is God.
Yeah.
And I'm there on Sunday mornings, and every time the service was over, the Spirit of God would speak to me and say, I didn't call you to go to this church.
Yep.
And I said, I rebuke you, devil. They're paying me. I don't want to hear that voice. I don't want to hear any voices like that. They're paying me.
They're paying.
Okay?
They're
just be paid.
Yeah.
And no, every time. And then finally, the music director came and said, we'd like you to do this full time, and we'll pay you. And I said, I can't. Because God didn't call me to go to this church.
Right.
And they said, well, we respect that. We respect that. You need to obey God. And so I did. So we went to Rhema Bible Church, where they also had a band, but they weren't paid.
No.
And they weren't professional.
No.
Matter of fact, the ministry had such excellence to it, but in this area, the pastor would get up and say, if you like to sing in the shower, or if you like to sing in the car when the radio's on, then join our choir up there. And I'm thinking, no, no, no. If you can sing and somebody besides you knows it, then join them. You know, you just think those things to yourself. And then they had a church orchestra. And he said, if you ever played an instrument, maybe in junior high school or high school, pull it out and join the orchestra. And I'm thinking, no, no. And I'm sitting up in the balcony thinking, I'll stay as far away from that stage as I can. No!
Right. Right. Not gonna. No.
That's
not. No.
And up there in the balcony, the Spirit of God says, I want you to join the orchestra. No, not join. Audition. You had to audition.
Yeah.
I want you to audition for the orchestra. And I said, no. No, I'm a professional. And this is amateur. And professionals don't do amateur things. And he kept dealing with me week after week. I want you to join the orchestra. So I signed up on the audition sheet. I didn't want to do it. I'm telling you, I didn't want to do it. Because that's like the musical version of cleaning the toilet. You understand?
Come on.
You're asking me to musically clean the toilets.
Yeah.
When I've been on stage in front of thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
And I audition, and I get there to the audition, and the guy that's running the audition, he hears me warming up, and he said, I'll forget the audition. He said, you don't need no audition. You're in. And I had to show up to a rehearsal on Thursday night and then early Sunday morning for rehearsal. And I came to the rehearsal and I did it and I knew enough to maintain a good attitude. Did I enjoy it? No, not at all. But it was from that place that I end up getting called to come interview to be the music director for Brother Hagin's traveling group. I get to travel with him everywhere he goes, and all that's in me today came from that.
Amen.
You want to be great?
Amen.
Got to learn to serve.
That's right.
Father, we're thankful. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. And Father, pray this with me, everybody. Say this, Father God.
Father God.
My life is yours.
My life is yours.
Use me as you choose.
Use me as you choose.
Show me how to serve.
Show me how to serve.
And I invite you.
And I invite you.
Use me to do.
Use me to do.
Whatever you have me do.
Whatever you have me do.
Doesn't matter how low.
Doesn't matter
how simple.
Doesn't matter how simple.
I'm not too good for it.
I'm not too good.
You're too good.
You're too good.
And thank you for your goodness to me.
Thank you for your goodness.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. So, hey, 7 o'clock Tuesday night over at the Taft House, right? That's going to be probably a prayer service. Am I here? Yeah, I don't know if I'm here or not on Tuesday. I'm ministering in Illinois, right around Chicago this coming Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
So I won't see you on Sunday, but you'll be here next Sunday. Bless y'all. You're dismissed. There's good.